Hey there, I'm Rachel Aaron, and you're listening to the Top Music Piano Podcast. Get inspired as we discuss creative resources, trends in piano pedagogy, ways to grow your income and streamline your studio, and new ways to engage your students each week. If you are a teacher who wants to go beyond the method books to create an innovative studio that fosters lifelong music makers, you've come to the right place. Hello, piano teacher friends. Thank you so much for joining me today. It means the world to me that you listen to this podcast, and I love it when I get an email or a DM from one of you saying that you are listening. I have a question for you today. Do you have a studio website? Most of you probably do, but what are your feelings about your website? Do you love it, hate it, think it could be better, wish you had more time to spend on it, or knew what to do with it? Today, my guest is pulling back the curtain on piano teacher websites, and he has so much valuable information for you. He's going to tell you specific steps you can take to get found on Google and why that's important. He talks about content, SEO, calls to action, and so much more. There's a lot packed into this episode, and I hope you enjoy it. Here's a little bit about Adam before we get started. Adam Gingery is the founder of the Philadelphia Piano Institute and a partner at a Philadelphia-based agency. His piano playing is mostly collaborative in nature, and he has worked with countless singers, string players, brass musicians, and woodwind players on their repertoire. He also helps about 50 other clients with search marketing in his private practice at Adam Gingery Consulting. Music schools and private teachers can learn more about his services at musicstudiomarketing.com. Here's my chat with Adam. Hi, Adam. Welcome to the show. I'm so grateful to you for being here today. Can you introduce yourself and tell us a little about what you do?
Yeah, my name is Adam Gingery with a hard G's, not soft G's like gingery. I founded and currently own the Philadelphia Piano Institute, which is obviously in Philadelphia, two storefronts, basically in Center City, Philadelphia. I operate that with my wife. We met in piano pedagogy classes. So she kept teaching piano. I changed careers to the marketing, and it kind of came together to start that as an interesting project. But I don't know how many teachers we have now, 10 or so. But yeah, and then on the side, I also have a marketing practice, about 50 monthly small business clients, not all music schools, but a bunch of them are music schools. And then I'm a partner at an advertising agency in Philadelphia. We recently moved out of the city, but we lived in there for a decade or so. But that's what I'm up to. My wife handles most of the operations at the music school, and I'm freed up to do, you know, other stuff. But we're hoping to make that hands off within the next year or two.
Okay, so there are lots of directions we could go today. But so are you doing any piano teaching?
No, I still play. Honestly, we went to grad school at TCU, and that was when I played the most. A lot of semi-professional singing and collaborative piano and stuff like that. And then I changed careers into copywriting shortly thereafter. Because I got kind of burned out from teaching. I taught a lot of private lessons, and it was not something I was passionate enough about to have energy for. But you know, my wife still teaches and has taught, you know, probably thousands of lessons. A lot of my clients do. It's something I care about, but I'm not the person to be doing it.
Yeah, I can relate somewhat to that. And my background is actually collaborative piano as well. So yeah, I understand that whole journey too. So your day-to-day now, you're doing the ads, marketing, and then website stuff. Tell us what your day-to-day looks like currently.
Yeah, well, the first thing is checking emails to see what the emergencies are. but then after that, all of the regular, what I specialize in search marketing. So I help people sell mostly services to people who are looking for those services. What we're talking about today is primarily music lessons. I work with a lot of private teachers and music schools, but also law firms, doctor's offices, travel agencies, just a lot of companies. If there is a service they need leads for and there is search volume online, people are Googling, you know, such and such service near me or such and such service for this industry or something, I'm working on making them more visible in that category. The channels there are search engine optimization, for local businesses, there's a lot of work to do on a daily basis, getting people's Google business profile visible in the map pack. You know, if you search for piano lessons near me, you want to be one of those three teachers in the three map results, right? That's one bucket of work. Another one is ranking your website on those top 10 organic results, really the top three. Like if you're ranked 9 now, it hardly even does anything for you anymore with the way Google is. So building links from other websites to client websites, writing content, publishing content, building good websites, all that stuff happens on a daily basis to get clients more visible. Google Ads is another conversation. You know, we probably don't even have time for it right now, but that's another big part of my day to day.
Okay. So some of what you said sounds like a foreign language to me, but that's okay. We're going to dive into this and sort it all out. So we're specifically today, what I asked you to talk about is websites, but I think we'll get into some of that search optimization as well, since that's kind of your specialty. But let's start with websites, because that typically is how a teacher is going to be found. And maybe I just gave away the answer to this question, but why do you think it's important for piano teachers to have a high quality website?
Well, like you said, that is one of the primary methods for potential students to find you. So you need your website to be high quality, and that's in two different avenues. First of all, you need Google to think your website is high quality. If Google thinks your website is high quality, and we'll get into what that means as we continue talking, you'll rank better in the search results. People, when they're Googling music lessons, violin lessons, piano lessons, whatever, will find you, and then they'll end up on your website. What happens next is part of the second bucket of quality, which is it has to be quality in the eyes of the people on your website. You know, it has to have professional photos, good content. It needs to not be generic. You know, you need to be yourself, present clearly what your value is, like what do you offer people. It needs to have very obvious calls to action. You know, do you have a trial lesson? Do you have a specific program? Do you have a specific outcome you're trying to sell? Like your kid will play this song in 7 days, you know, like whatever. Have something specific that you're trying to get them to, or a free consultation if you have, you know, some kind of a boutique high-end piano coaching service or something. You know, do you want to schedule a consultation, or are you trying to go up market in that way? We can talk about that further too, but yeah, those are, you need to have a high quality website to both convince people to contact you when they find it, and it needs to be quality enough for Google to actually make it visible to people looking for the service you offer.
Okay, so let's kind of take one of those tracks. Let's talk about the clients. You want your clients to see your website and think it's beautiful and want to follow through on the call to action. What makes a website stand out from the pack?
Yeah, so let me kind of attack that from two angles here. One, we'll talk about what makes it stand out algorithmically so that you can rank better in search. And we'll also talk about how you can stand out from the 75 other music schools that have websites in your market. For the latter point, you know, how can you stand out from a branding perspective? You know, do you have good professional photos of your teaching space, which is more important than you think, of yourself and of your teaching staff? You know, that it really matters, because especially if you're teaching kids, parents, you know, are not just going to send their kid to take lessons with anybody. You know, it doesn't have to be amazing. And you don't need to have like a Met headshot on your website, but you need to have professional photos. It's good to have pictures of your instruments, unless that is a problem for you, unless you're embarrassed about your instruments, in which case I would suggest go ahead and get a real instrument. Have a nice professional teaching space set up. Get pictures of all that and go ahead and get professional photos. You know, it's actually a very low cost in the long run. You'll probably update them once every 6 years, you know. So do that. If you have a brick and mortar, have photos of the exterior of your building. That helps people find you and feel more comfortable knowing what's going on. Those are, you know, I wish I could say I adhere to all those rules all the time. We're so buried. We're very behind on getting updated photos for our second location and stuff. So I'm not perfect either, but that will help you stand out. If you have a clear offer, that will also help you stand out, because most of the time you're seeing things like, you know, get in touch, start today, enroll. It's like, yeah, we know you're enrolling students. You don't have to tell us you're now enrolling or something, but do you have something unique about your studio? You know, do you have a 10-foot Bösendorfer grand piano that students get to play on? I have a client who has this. awesome piano, and you would probably pay more than the value of lessons just to be able to practice on that, right? So that's cool. Do you have a big lending library? You know, do you have a special collaborative program? Like, do you have a partnership with another voice studio or something? And can you do some collaborative works? Interesting stuff like that. There are some studios out there now that have really proprietary group lessons that aren't just run-of-the-mill piano labs. You know, they have unique software, it's gamified, you know, they have very clear outcomes. Maybe you have something like that that you should market. Or maybe you're going, again, upmarket, and you're trying to work with very motivated adult students or something, which is a really growing trend right now. And I work with several people doing this. Maybe it's more expensive. So your call to action is going to be scheduling a consultation. And maybe you meet once or twice a week. Maybe you're taking young professionals who are looking for a creative outlet in their life and they have money to spend, but they feel like they need a thing that makes them interesting, right? It's a huge market. Actually, that's what my blog post on Top Music Co. is about. Adult piano lessons. I just remembered. But maybe that's your market. So talk about, you know, what can they do? It's like, you'll learn this music in 3 hours a week, or you'll learn faster than Alfred's group piano method for adults or whatever. You know, that would be something you'd workshop. Those are some ways to stand apart. Testimonials also matter. If you have a really good offer price-wise, you can put that on there too, but you kind of attract what you put out there. You know, don't necessarily rely on free trial signups to be long-term students. If you're cheaper than everybody else, you'll get more leads, but you'll grow out of that pretty quickly and wish you could get rid of the people who signed up for like dirt cheap. You shouldn't charge too much when you're new, but you know, don't necessarily try to be the cheapest in your market unless you don't have experience at all. But yeah, I mean, those are all things that are unique to your business that you would want to communicate on your website. And people are going to read that. And if they don't sign up, good. You know, they weren't qualified for your studio. You want to get the right students, not just anybody. Now, as far as what makes your website stand out from other sites for Google, you know, how do you be more visible in search engines? You need to have one page per service per population center. This is kind of my general rule of thumb. So if you're just a private piano studio and you're in one population center, I would have a homepage that's just a generic branding page, right? Just, you know, a little bit about you, a little bit about your company. And then you're going to have a main menu, right? I would have your piano lesson page there in the menu as its own page, optimized for piano lessons in your city. You know, let's say you're in the Bronx, whatever. Like, you'll have the main heading on that page, piano lessons in the Bronx. And then go ahead and write 500 or 600 plus words, if it's a very competitive market, more about your piano lessons. And you can really get into it. You know, what makes you unique? What are some music theory principles you're going to teach? Do you teach technique? What does that include? You know, actually write several hundred words of really good content about your piano lessons. You might think nobody's going to read that, or won't that get in the way of conversion? No, because you need to have your CTAs, your calls to action, like a form, a call button, a click through to your contact page or Opus One, whatever you're using. That needs to be above the fold, as we call it. Like, they don't have to scroll, right? If someone lands on the page, they see the heading, they see a little bit of information about you, and they see a call to action, they're probably going to click on that before they even read through all that stuff. But the words have to be there for Google to crawl. Otherwise, it won't view your website as a high quality website. It also has to be fast. You need to have a mobile friendly website. If you're using something like Wix and Squarespace, if you kind of do a DIY website build, make sure you use the mobile friendly tool. Like, it's very easy. There's a button there. You click on it to see how it looks on mobile. It's going to be totally different than the computer desktop version. So make sure you drag and drop all of your page elements on both of those features. Otherwise, your site's going to look great. You're working on it late at night on your computer, and then you pull it up on your phone and it's going to be totally messed up. Just make sure you do both. If you get a professional website done, it'll be fine. It'll be responsive and you won't have to worry about it. Google, we talked about kind of the site structure, one page per service. If you offer multiple services, like if you're a music school, you need to have one page per instrument. So again, let's go with the Bronx. Let's say you all have a page for piano lessons and a page for violin and a page for drums, whatever. if you have multiple locations, or you service, let's say you're an in-home teaching business serving multiple population centers, you have to have additional pages. So sticking with New York, you're going to have a page for piano lessons in the Bronx, piano lessons in Brooklyn, piano lessons in the Upper West Side. You know, depending on your market, you might have to have all these micro pages. And this is all stuff I've done. It actually works. You have to have one page per service, per population center. There's one other thing that I'll briefly touch on that isn't on the website itself, but what will help you stand out is if you have links from other websites pointing to your website, Google loves that. They're called backlinks. You have to have them to rank on Google unless you're in a non-competitive market. And this is part of my job, right? But some of my clients already have a lot of PR, so to speak, to work with it when I first speak with them. Like, let's say they've done some touring as a pianist, and they have recital programs on the website of several universities or something like that. Or maybe they did a community event and they have a blog written about that or something. If there's not a link from that other page pointing to your website, you know, ask for one. Just reach out to the webmaster or your contact, that institution, be like, hey, can you include a link to my website? That would help me out a lot. I'd appreciate it. Most people will. And if you have some PR out there in the world that you know of, get a link from that to your website. That's going to help you rank better on Google.
That's a really good tip. And what if you don't have anything yet? Is there a way to kind of get that going forward?
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of directories that you'll have to get listed on. Some of them are local business directories. Like if you just Google online business directory in your city, you'll find some. What is the music one? I don't remember. I can't remember off the top of my head. I have spreadsheets of hundreds of these, so I don't have to remember them. But that's how it works. You'll have to manufacture these backlinks. If you publish really interesting content, you will naturally attract backlinks, but this is not guaranteed and it's hard to do. I'll give you an example. On the Philadelphia Piano Institute website, I haven't had much time to be regularly working on it like I want to, but I've had a few blog posts that have been hits. One was about Simply Piano before it got well known. Just stayed up all night and wrote a blog post about it. My wife and I did this together, actually. We got really interested in this and just stayed up all night using the app and writing a review about it. And it was getting like 2,000 hits a month before they started heavily branding and running ads for their own brand name because they didn't have control of their own traffic. Another one is we wrote a blog post about the Yamaha hybrid, digital hybrid grand pianos because I love them and we got one. There weren't resources about that stuff online. So a lot of music bloggers just linked to those blogs as a resource, just happened, right? That's a best case scenario. If you have a unique piece of thought leadership, you know, go ahead and publish it because it might be found. But other than that, we have to manufacture the backlinking by publishing directory listings that have links back to your website. I have networks of publishers that I can send blog posts to. And they'll sometimes work with me on getting those published, linked back to clients. But it's tough. But if you know of opportunities that you already have or partnerships with other websites, try to take advantage of those.
So can you talk a little more about the call to action? You said, you know, everyone puts enroll or learn more, whatever. What are some good call to actions that teachers should have on their website? What have you found to be effective?
Yeah. So first of all, there's no one answer, right? And this is something you can test. So we can talk about tracking here in a little bit. This is all stuff that you can see in tools like Google Analytics. And you can go through and change the language on your website buttons and see what works best. This is something I do sometimes. But if you have a half-price trial or a free trial, that is a good one if you're willing to do that. I would suggest, you know, you're trying to make a living, so go ahead and just make it a discounted trial so that you're still getting paid. Or if you have teachers working for you, so it at least covers your costs. I would strongly suggest if your main CTA is a discounted or free trial that you double dip with that by getting more reviews. use it more as a tool for getting more reviews, because you'll get a lot of volume, you'll do more lessons, you'll keep teachers busy. And then if someone does a half price trial, reach out to them right away and be like, hey, how'd it go? You know, did you like it? Did you have fun? Did you learn something? If you leave us a review, we'll give you another half price trial. If you're in a pinch and you need reviews, that's a good way to do it. Spend a month dealing with that. But other than that, if you have, you know, an informational download, getting information is a good one, because most people kind of want to know, what are the lesson policies? How much does it cost? Do you have a good makeup policy? You know, something like that. Parents are concerned about this. So you can use get information. And that's actually, it sounds generic, but it really does work. I have that on our website, and we have that on a number of other clients. And you can either set up an automatic email responder that has all the frequently asked questions, with then an option to either book a call with you, schedule a lesson, or, you know, reply to that email and take the next steps. And it's okay if you don't get a lot more response after that, because you don't want to put all of that on your website necessarily, because first of all, people may not take that first step and contact you, which gets them further down the road. And maybe they'll be like, actually, yeah, I will pay for this if you give them a nice response, if they wouldn't have an issue. Or you don't necessarily want to give too much of your information away to competitors. You know, there's just the reality. It's not your job to set the benchmark for pricing in your city, but everyone figure it out for themselves. But yeah, I like get information a lot. And whether you have an automatic email response or you do it manually, you'll get a lot more emails doing that. And it's a good user experience for the people trying to get in touch.
Top Music Pro enables you to be a pro in your own studio, because you don't have to reinvent the wheel and you don't have to make up all the answers yourself. You have support.
I think of Top Music as the pot of gold at the end of a rainbow. This site is the whole pot of gold, and there's gold pieces in there that I didn't even know existed.
I am actually teaching a full studio. They're coming online from miles away, so I am certainly thriving.
So what Tim has done is build a global community of piano teachers who are interested, who are engaged. And when you become part of this community, you feel empowered.
My life is different now because I'm not just in an isolated little studio. I have learned that there are other people out there going through very similar learning curves and sharing these ideas.
I've really gained a lot of skill sets where my teaching is far more creative, far more innovative. I have resources so that I can add to it things that I didn't know.
My life and my business are different now because I have the three things that I really wanted: less stress, more money, and more time.
It's going to be fun. Like, I got excited about being a piano teacher. It's revolutionized everything that I do.
I think I've become a more thoughtful teacher, a more organized teacher. The quality of my teaching has deepened.
I feel like I can do this. I feel a sense of hope. I love the creativity it fosters and the openness to thinking outside the box, and it's energizing.
Joining Top Music really solidified that. Like, no, this is your career, and you can make a career out of this. That has really helped me be proud of what I do.
It's made such a tremendous impact on the way I think about teaching. It keeps your mind open when you have so many ideas.
My best win from being on Top Music Pro is just having a lot more peace of mind as a teacher and as a business owner. It just gives me that less amount of hours that I have to do with research and everything.
It's a really good place to spend a few pounds, a few bucks a month. What you get from it far outweighs what you have to pay into it.
My biggest win with Top Music Pro was increased student retention and increased income. I have a lot more confidence in how I'm teaching, and I have the resources that I need when I do have questions.
I probably went from about 35 students to maybe like 65. I ended up doing 3 classes and I had a waiting list.
If I hadn't signed up with Top Music Pro, I probably wouldn't have realized that teaching piano is a real job and you can build your whole career around it.
Okay, so I have a couple follow-up questions. You mentioned reviews. How important are reviews and testimonials on the website?
On the website, you reach the point of diminishing returns. You should have a few, like on your homepage, for instance, have a bar on the main homepage that's just 3 reviews or something. If you're specifically trying to get adult students, get some reviews from adults. If you're trying to attract kids, you're going to have reviews from parents saying how much their kid loved working with like Mr. So-and-so. You know, it's just how parents are. You know, I have kids and I guess I'm the same way, even though I pretend like I'm not. So they do matter on the website, but you don't need to have like 50 testimonials. It's more important to have reviews on your Google business profile. That is critical because they help you rank better in the Google Map Pack. It's just in the algorithm. If you have more reviews, you'll get more visibility for people looking for your service. And whether you have testimonials on your website or not, people are still going to go try to look up your Google business profile to see what the reviews are that you can't control. Like if it's on your website, you put it there, you know, and so it necessarily has less value than the normal reviews that are on the Google business profile that you can't do anything about.
All right. Can you talk about Google Business Profile? I wasn't planning to ask you, but since you brought it up, could you tell teachers, maybe some people don't even know what that is or how it works, why it's important?
Yeah, it's necessarily related to the website conversation. You really can't skip having one. So if you have a presence, you know, in a population center, you have a business there, go to business.google.com. Set up your Google Business Profile. Most teachers already have. But the map pack, you know, those local map results show before the websites. So you need to have a profile there and you want to rank better. If you have a physical teaching address, like a brick and mortar or an office or something, you can put your address in there, which will help you rank better for people in that area. Fill out your description. Don't just put 2 sentences in there. Give it like max out the character count. You can add what are called products to that. So if you have a school with multiple instruments, or maybe you also do collaborative piano, or you do gigs, or you DJ, whatever, you can do what's called products. Click add product, add a photo, and then a link to that page on your website. That's a nice little carousel there on your Google Business Profile. It helps get more traffic. Just fill out all of the fields you can. You really have to do that. And then on your website, to tie it back into the website, in the footer of your website and your contact page, preferably, have your business name, address, and phone number. It's called the NAP, the name, address, phone number. Make sure it matches exactly what's on your Google Business Profile. Google looks for instances of that NAP information, the name, address, and phone number. It looks for instances of that across the web, across the internet. So your website, business directories, you know, teacher listings, whatever. The more instances of that information Google finds, the more authoritative your Google Business Profile will be in the algorithm, and you'll get more traffic there.
Okay, gotcha. I want to go back to one thing that you mentioned about pricing. Can you talk a little about the pros and cons of putting your pricing on your website and maybe your opinion of whether teachers should do that or not?
Yeah, we've done both, and there's no right or wrong answer. What I always tell my clients is if your pricing is competitive, like if it'll help you get more signups, then go ahead and put it up there until you don't need it anymore. And then you can start to raise your rates. As you get more prominent, you're going to be leading your local market, right? If you're the first website everyone sees when they Google piano lessons in Nashville or whatever, I wouldn't put pricing on there. Because all you're doing is giving other people the easy opportunity to undercut you. Focus on other things that are more important, like outcomes, the student experience, the quality of teachers, your studio, like is it a nice space, you know, whatever the case may be. Because people will pay for the outcome they want. So really focus on that. If you're in a market and you're new, and you want to offer very premium pricing, I wouldn't put that on the website. I don't really think it's ever helped anyone. It can only hurt. I have people who start to get too many leads and they're like, how do we only get the better quality leads? And sometimes I'll tell them, yeah, we can go ahead and put pricing on there just to make sure you're not getting spammed with, you know, people kicking tires. But It's a very personal decision. I think if you're new and you're trying to break into a market and you just want students, go ahead and put it on there. And if it's a little bit below market level, make sure you really talk about your experience as a teacher and the quality you provide. And people will think, oh, wow, like this is a great rate for what this person offers. Let's sign up. And then once you get 25 students or whatever, just send everyone an email 2 years later and raise your rates. There will be some churn, and that's good, because then as you're getting more leads, your revenue increases. That's just general business. With piano teachers, it's tough because you're never going to fire your students. Like, you know, we actually care about our students. So it's not like a self-storage business where raise rates every year and you lose a few and you gain more who are paying more. Like, you don't want to do that if you're a music teacher. But to that answer your question, it's kind of a tricky one. Okay.
Yeah, it is tricky. And it, like you said, it's a personal thing as well. You mentioned the professional photos. How do you feel about video? Is it important to include video on your website?
My opinion on this is, if you are a private teaching practice, if you're an artist teacher, I think video is fantastic. If you have really well-produced videos, not just, you know, on your phone in your living room or something, but maybe you invest a little bit of money in getting a really nice recording of yourself playing pieces, that can be a really good conversion. You know, people will be on your website and think, oh, wow, they can really play. You know, I remember when we were first starting the Philadelphia Piano Institute, Erica, my wife, was playing a lot back then. And she did some really professional videos, and people were always commenting when they were first signing up, because at that point it was like a single teacher studio. It wasn't meant to be this music school it is today. That kind of just evolved. So people would find the website and they would see the videos. They get in touch and say, wow, these, you know, obviously you can really play. I'd love to work with you, you know, and you hear that more than you'd think if you have really nicely produced videos. If you have a music school, it also helps to have videos of your teachers, but I wouldn't do any like talking head videos. Like if you've ever shopped around for law firms, you know, you'll see there are whole agencies devoted towards video marketing for different industries. And it's really hard to demonstrate ROI. You know, I've done before and after conversion rate, which is just the percentage of people on your website who then call you or whatever. I've measured before and after conversion rates for when there was and wasn't a video. Didn't make a huge difference. So other than performance videos, I would leave it alone. But it is a good selling point. If you can really play, go ahead and let people know, because it does set you apart. There are a lot of teachers who can't play or who just don't keep up. You know?
Can you talk briefly about the teacher who's doing multiple things? So I know a lot of our listeners, they have their piano teaching studio, and then maybe they're selling products to piano teachers. They have like different hats that they wear. Should that all be housed on one website? And I think actually your website might be a good example of this, your personal website.
That one, if they're topically related, I do think it's a good idea to have it housed under one website. And from my utilitarian perspective, doing search marketing, the main reason is it's very hard to build what we would call in the industry domain authority. Like, let's say you have one website and you've invested a lot of time or money in getting backlinks to that website, writing a lot of good content, making sure it's structured correctly, and you have internal links and metadata and schema markup and all this SEO nonsense, and it's doing well. The last thing you want to do is have to start all over again, right? For something that's pretty similar anyways. So my little network of websites that are relevant to this conversation would be what? The PhiladelphiaPianoInstitute.com, AdamGingery.com, MusicStudioMarketing.com. That's kind of my little neighborhood on the web. And they're all different because they serve very different purposes. The Philadelphia Piano Institute obviously has its own thing. And if we were going to publish music teacher resources, I would put it under that umbrella because I think it's the most relevant. And all of our blogs about, you know, piano learning apps and pianos and stuff like that, it's all under that umbrella because it's topically relevant. MusicStudioMarketing.com, very topically, is very niche, right? So I wanted that to be specific. AdamGingery.com, it was meant to attract non-music businesses. And that's where a lot of people find me who are, you know, painting companies or corporations or whatever. So they all serve very different purposes. And again, back to that domain authority, it's really hard to get your website to rank on Google and to get traffic and to start getting leads. And so to do it all again is really tough. And if you're a music teacher offering lessons and you also have downloads for teachers, maybe you do some coaching, those are all related in my opinion. And I think they would be appropriate under one website. I think they could even encourage potential students to work with you because they're thinking, oh, this person like really is invested in their field and they're serious. I'd like to work with them. I'll give you an interesting example of someone who did the other way on this, and it's not even in the music industry, but through the agency here in Philadelphia, we had a client, still do, a large personal injury law firm in Maryland. They also do criminal defense, and they were all under one website. So the theory was, after a couple of Google algorithm updates, maybe we should split off all of the criminal defense stuff into a totally separate website. Both very competitive fields, and we were giving up all of that domain authority from the main website to start a new website. And it felt like a risk at the time, but it was our operating theory, and we were all on board to try this. We did it, launched a new website. Like overnight, it just got a ton of traffic and ranked extremely well. The lawyer's name was the same, the firm's name was the same. And that has to do with the fact that Google knows, you know, if it's the same entity, whether or not you have all the same backlinks and stuff. You know, the algorithm knows if you're very well known in your field and you start a new website, it's going to do better than if you have no mentions of your name on the internet or something. So those were such different topics that were on the same website. When we freed them from each other, they both thrived unlike they had before. So that's kind of how I would look at that decision. It's case by case, but I would go ahead and put it all on the same website.
Okay. So let's see if we can bring this home. Can you give maybe your top two or three tips for piano teachers looking to maximize their website in search engines? I don't even know what I'm saying. I don't speak this language, but take the question and just go with it.
So if you're in like Manhattan or something, I think you should just hire someone and talk to them because it's going to be so competitive and hard. You know, you're not going to get anywhere on your own. So that would be my recommendation there. Don't invest the hours if you're in a very competitive market, because also the economic opportunity is very high. Like it will pay itself off, right? If you're in a good market, it's worth spending more money to get there because you'll get more return. Now, that aside, if you're going to try to do this yourself, which many people do, you know, use a website builder like everyone else does, like Squarespace or Wix. I would not try to build a WordPress website on your own unless you have some web development background, because if you buy like a theme and use a DIY website builder on WordPress, it's going to end up looking bad unless you actually have web development experience. So use Wix or Squarespace. Those are my two choices. Don't use Webflow. And I would just use Squarespace or Wix because they have a real of DIY tools that you can actually use and get more traffic. Starting there, then make sure you have one page per service per area. So if you are in a population center like the Bay Area, for instance, and you have in-home music lessons, have one page for San Francisco piano lessons, one page for San Francisco voice lessons, one page for San Francisco violin, then another page for like Fremont piano lessons, Fremont violin lessons, blah, blah, blah. Put those in the website navigation. You know, have a logical dropdown. This is stuff you can do on your own. Logical dropdown of areas served. And then it says San Francisco. And then under San Francisco, piano, violin, blah, blah, blah. And do that for each city or population center. Secondly, go ahead and fill out all the content on your page. A lot of teachers, and I hear this frequently, that's why I keep saying it. A lot of people say, oh, well, I read that having a lot of text is bad for conversion rates. No, no one will ever find your website if you don't have any text, unless you're paying for ads, which is another whole conversation. Write tons of text on there, you know, 700-800 words if you're in a competitive market, and make it really good. but the main header on the page should have the keyword you're trying to rank on Google for, piano lessons in San Francisco, whatever it may be, and then have a clear call to action there before someone has to scroll down the page. Whether it's get information, start today, half price trial, whatever, put that up there at the top, maybe even embed a form up at the top so that people don't have to scroll and see the text if they don't want to. All right. Do not publish pages that are too specific, ironically. I see this all the time. People will have a website and it says, for kids, for adults. You know, no, that's not how Google works. You can't rank a separate page for piano lessons for kids in Philadelphia and piano lessons for adults in Philadelphia. You need to have that content on the same page. And if I'm sorry if the user experience isn't amazing, I wish you could be more specific as well. And I've tried this, it just doesn't work. But Google's not going to rank those separately and they're going to hurt each other. So you need to have one consolidated page for that service for that region. That's really all you need. You need a homepage, get your photos on there, have the lesson pages, have a contact page, publish a few blog posts. Another thing you can do yourself is internal links. So within your own website, you want to have links from page to page. And you need to tell Google what the content of that page is that you're linking to. So let's say your main money page is piano lessons in Philadelphia, and you're going to publish a blog post, for instance, about, you know, how long does it take to learn piano, or guide to piano tuners in Philadelphia or something. On that blog post, have a link to the lesson page, link to the pages that you want to rank on Google, and the text on that link should say something like piano lessons in Philadelphia. It's a pretty logical process and it's a lot to remember, but that will help that page rank better. Like, that is an important SEO tactic. And then another thing you can do for yourself, build out the Google Business Profile and get as many reviews as you can. And then lastly, I would say, you can Google things like business directory in your city, or sign up for business directory in your city, or go to musiclessons.com. I'll just make sure right now, you can set up a profile there. Someone paid a lot of money for this domain name, and I don't really know if it's working out for them or not, but you can set up a profile on that website and include a link back to your website, and just stuff like that helps. Those are all things you can do. It probably won't get you over the top to, you know, rank number one on Google for piano lessons in Los Angeles or something, but you can start getting leads, particularly from the map pack, at a slow drip. And then let's say you do engage a professional down the road. If you kind of have that stuff already in place, they can just jump right in and really get things moving for you much more quickly than if you were starting from scratch.
Yeah, so much good advice here today, Adam. Thank you. I feel like you've given us all the secrets. I love that you understand the music part of it, obviously, very well as all the techie part of it, which I obviously don't understand, but I feel like you gave us so much information today and I really, really appreciate it. If teachers want to connect with you or work with you further, how can they get in touch?
You can always send me an email at adam@musicstudiomarketing.com or just visit musicstudiomarketing.com. Happy to provide advice. Obviously, if I have conflicts of interest in a given market, you know, I can't necessarily compete with my own clients. But I'm always happy to chat with people. And I can also point you in the right direction. You know, I have people I can send you to build you websites. I don't personally code out websites myself. I build Squarespace sites for very little money for people if we're doing an ongoing arrangement. But I have WordPress developers. I have some really interesting people who build custom websites, all kinds of price points. You don't have to spend $10,000 on a website to get something good. You're always welcome to get in touch and I'd be happy to help.
Great. Thank you so much, Adam, for taking time to share your knowledge with us. I really appreciate it. And I know listeners are going to get so much value out of this episode.
I hope so. Thank you very much for your time.
I hope that you enjoyed this show today and learned as much from Adam as I did. I do want to mention something coming up that I'm really excited about, and that is the Teaching Beginners with Whole Body Learning course that Tim Topham will be teaching with Paul Myatt. The course starts August 1st and will consist of 3 90-minute sessions plus a bonus session. To get all the information and to register for the course, visit topmusic.co/wholebody. That is the end of the show this week. I'm Rachel Aaron, and you've been listening to the Top Music Piano Podcast. I will talk to you very soon.
How do you keep up to date with all the latest trends and research into music education? How do you connect with other teachers around the world and make sure your teaching stays fresh and relevant for students of all ages and stages, both now and into the future? I created our Top Music Pro membership to be the one-stop shop for music teaching resources, training, support, and community, and I'd love for you to come and join us inside. With over 40 comprehensive training courses, hundreds of teaching demonstrations and lesson plans, free monthly sheet music, discounts, and all the business and pedagogy support you could ever need, Top Music Pro is the community you've been looking for. If you're ready to level up your learning from the podcast and join thousands of other teachers in our global network, head over to topmusicpro.com today.